As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to wake up and to enjoy the benefit of life. God is an all-knowing God, all-powerful and all-present. Let us never forget that. We have questions that our children ask in our classrooms, and there are those times where we just cannot give an answer. I want us to know this, a reference to questions that may be asked. It's okay to tell your children you don't know the answer. And when you find that answer, that you may give it to them. Well, a question was asked on last week by one of our little ones. If God, everything God made was very good, why do we have mosquitoes? Mosquitoes are a pest, insect, nuisance, disease carrying, but they were created for a purpose. If you can remember God telling Adam in the garden that everything was good for food to eat, and at that time he was pointing toward the vegetation, and that he could eat from every tree except for one, the tree that was in the midst of the garden beside the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that he could not eat from the tree of life, or he couldn't eat from the tree that pertained good and evil. And the thing that we need to look at, even with Adam and Eve, if God told them, let me get this scripture reference for you. Turn, if you would, to the book of Genesis. And the chapter is going to be 2. As God formed man, He formed man in His own image. And the likeness of God, that's the way man was created. To be holy, for God is holy. But you look there in Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." We're going to get to the answer of that question in reference to the mosquitoes in just a moment. But I want you to see how cunning the old devil is. But on the same hand, how stupid he is. Because he told Adam and Eve, or Eve, that eat from this tree. The tree that God commanded them not to eat from, you eat of that tree. And he's really not stupid, but he is. He's stupid. He's smart, but he's stupid. He said, "Eat from this tree." He did not want man to live forever. He wanted man to die. And to show how gullible man is, this tree right next to this tree, if they would have ate from that tree, they would have lived forever. But they ate from the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. And God put them out of the garden so that they would not eat from the tree of life and live forever. But going back now to chapter 1 to answer the question. Chapter 1 to answer the question. The Bible states in reference to mosquitoes. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it is so. And God saw everything, including mosquitoes, that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Some things we have to accept as just being the word of God, and do not ask the question why. But I want you to answer this question and think about mosquitoes. What does frogs eat? They have to live, right? Do you think they eat mosquitoes? Yes. We meet a couple of frogs around our houses sometimes when it rains. Because those mosquitoes, they nest, they hatch out, and they just multiply. We need some frogs sometimes to eat those mosquitoes so that they can continue to grow. And then you say, well, who eats frogs? There's some of y'all that like to eat frogs and frog legs and this, that, and the other. Not I. But again, everything that God created was very good. If you want to eat frog legs, eat frog legs. If you even want to catch a mosquito and eat that mosquito, so be it. Yes, little children, if you want to go eat a mosquito and say, Brother Spencer told me to eat it, and just to see how nasty it tastes. It's not going to kill you. But I want you to know that when you swat that mosquito and he or she is full of blood, and I think they said it is the female that generally is the one that latches onto you and sucks your blood, and when you smack it and all that blood, please, please, please go and wipe that blood up and off of you. Because again, mosquitoes do carry diseases, but God created them in order for other animals to eat and live, and in turn, the cycle goes on. We eat them, and don't nobody eat us. Why? Because he didn't create man to be ate. He created man to worship him. And that is what we need to do. So again, there are many different species of mosquitoes out there, but God created them in order for other animals to eat. And so again, that question, sometimes when we children ask those questions, we may not be able to give them the exact answer that they may be looking for. But yes, everything God created was very good, including mosquitoes. And I know there's somebody out there say, well, what happened to the devil? Why? Who created him? He is a created individual. God created the devil, but he did not create him bad. He did not create us bad. But we learn things and we rebel against God. We disobey him and then we are bad. So again, everything God created was very good. People learn. People do things that's wrong. And when they do those things, they have to suffer the consequences as the devil will, because hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. All right. So that's the quick lowdown on everything God created was very good. What about mosquitoes? So when you see a mosquito, you say, that is food for something. That is food for something. But still, do not be afraid to swat it if it's biting you, okay? All right, so let's get into the lesson this morning. The lesson this morning is talking about the Word of God is. The Word of God is powerful. You do do not believe that the Word of God is powerful, you do not believe in God. You do not believe in God. For the Word of God is powerful. Oh, no. But anyway, as we look at this, now just give me 1 second there. We'll back up. And we'll... All right. More. All right, this is powerful. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the verses 12 through 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. When you look at this verse, I want you to get a very good understanding out of it. This word, sometimes we do not know how great it is. We do not know how powerful it is. And what I mean when I say that is we do not know how to use it. And if you are trying to use a tool and you do not understand how powerful that tool is, then I suggest that you put that tool down. Did y'all see that? You put that tool down and you go a different route. You use something else that's going to benefit you, that's going to help you. But this is the greatest tool that God has ever given us. It is His Word. And He tells us what would happen if we do not understand His Word. But He tells us what, again, even if you do understand, He tells you what happened. There in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You ever heard that person say, God knows my heart? You ever heard that person say that? And so what we need to start telling them is you are exactly right. God knows your heart. He knows the things that you're thinking. He knows the things that you want to do. He knows the things that you should not do. Because again, who is He? He is God. And if He is God, we need to understand that yes, He knows all things. He has given us this word for a purpose, a sole purpose, in order for us to be able to know His will and live. To know His will and live. You say, well, that's two things, because He said to know His will and live. Well, okay. Accept it as that, because His Word gives us eternal life. That's living not only here, but there in eternity. We can live with Him. He knows my heart. Yes, He does. Look what it says again. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit. You know, sometimes we say, well, what's up with the soul? What's up with the spirit? And we get them confused sometimes. We get them confused sometimes because those words are used interchangeably, soul or spirit or spirit or soul. But here the writer says it is to divide or division of soul and of spirit. It can separate them. It separates them because knowing this, that if you do not live the way you're supposed to live, that when you die, the spirit is going to go right back to the one that gave it again. Who is that? That's God. He breathed into the nostrils of man the spirit of life, made him a living being, gave him a soul that he's going to judge in the end. You know, we're afraid of so many people, but he said, do not be afraid of the one that can destroy the body, but be afraid of the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Well, if the spirit goes back to him, is that what he's destroying? No. It's the soul that he's destroying. So let us keep that in mind as we think about this verse. And he says, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The thoughts and the intentions of what do you want to do? You know, somebody said, I can just feel it within me. I need to do this. You know who is looking and see that same thing? God. He knows what you want to do. He knows what you want to do if it's right or if it's wrong. And you know what he's going to do? He is going to judge you accordingly. For all of you that always say, God is the only one that can judge me. Okay, I'll let you have that. But know this, when you're doing something wrong and someone is pointing that wrong out to you, and you tell them that God is the only one that can judge me, yes, he is the only one that's going to judge you in the end. But I want you to know this, that a person is only telling you those things in order to help you out. And he says in verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. To the one that we must give an account. You ever said that? I don't have to answer to you. You're going to have to answer to somebody. And right there, the Hebrew writer says, all will give an account. We must give account. Account of what? Account of what we have done. Account of what we have thought about. Account of what we intended to do. See, we have to cleanse our minds. We have to clear our minds of the things that are wrong before God. And we have to do the things that are right. How do we do that? Again, we do that with his word. Because again, the word of God, it is powerful. It is able, or it is capable of purifying our souls. It's capable. I want you to understand that. When I say that it is capable, I mean that if you don't want your soul purified, you don't have to have it purified. You don't have to. God is not going to make you have your soul purified. But if you want it purified, guess what can do it? The word can do it. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start with verse 13 because I told you already how we were created. We were created in the image of God. He is holy, so therefore we have been created holy. Therefore, in 1 Peter chapter 1, start with verse 13. Preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now look at the next verse. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So how is the word able, capable of purifying us? How is it? He gives you the answer right there. By your obedience. If you're disobedient, you don't have to worry about having your soul purified. Because it's not going to happen. You have to be obedient to the word in order for it to cleanse you, to make you the person that God wants you to be. Not as, you know, you're not going to go back and live that small, precious as a person, as a little baby, but you are going to be a babe in Christ. You've been cleansed from your sins. You've been purified by your obedience to the truth. Not to a lie, but to the truth. What is truth? He says, you know, that question is asked in John chapter 17. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So therefore, we have to know what can cleanse us, what can make us whole, what can purify us. You know, there are some people that they say, oh, I'm going to take a bath, or I'm going to take a shower. And they go and they take a shower, they take a bath, and they use no soap. Is that going to help them? No, it's not. It's not going to help them at all. Because when they get out and they're using that towel to dry off, they see all that dirt on that towel. They need to get back in there and use some soap. See, man made soap for a purpose, to cleanse your body. But God gave us the word in order to cleanse our souls. So let's accept the word and let's do what we're supposed to. If you're living a good life, but you're living it without this, you're still dirty. Your soul is still corrupt. You need to have your sins washed away, doing the things that God wants you to do. Once you become one of His children, I want you to understand that His word is able to build you up, to build you up. We talk about that from time to time, from 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verses 18, by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to understand that you can only grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ once you become a child of His. You know, you may know a whole lot of things referenced to the Word of God, but it's not allowing you to grow if you're not one of His children. You're not part of His family. You're not gonna reap the benefits, that inheritance of His that He has reserved for us in heaven, if you never become one of His children. So become one of His children in order to grow in a fashion that He is pleased with. But we look in the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, when we start talking about it is able to build you up. It is able to build you up. You know, there's some commercials that have been on TV that some of you may remember and some of you may not. And this is one that all should remember that has ever seen it. Milk does the body, don't all say it, good. You know what that tells us? That we have to drink milk in order for the body to be able to benefit from it. It strengthens the bones. But if you never drink that milk, it's not going to happen. Yeah, they got all these other types of milk out there, and I don't know if they benefit the body the same way as milk that comes from cows or not. I'm really not interested in it, period, point blank. Just give me some good old sweet milk, and I'm happy. Y'all say, what's sweet milk? Well, it's just old milk. But we look at this in Acts chapter 20 and the verses 32. Acts chapter 20 and the verses 32. He says this, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Now listen to this. Which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. All those who are sanctified. An inheritance. The word is able to build you up. You see, we have some people that are able to do a whole lot of things. But are they doing the things that they're able to do? The word is able to build you up. Is that happening? If it's not happening, it is not the word's fault. It's your fault. I can't get anything out of God's word. What are you putting into God's word? I just don't understand God's word. Are you trying to understand God's word? He tells us that there in Acts chapter... John chapter 8, verse 32. You can know the truth, and the truth can set you free. You can know the truth. So those that say they don't understand God's word, you are not putting forth the effort to study God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. We have to pray for an understanding. We have to pray for this knowledge. Pray for wisdom. We need to have a communication line with God. It's open. It's for everybody. You don't have to worry about stepping on anyone else or interrupting anyone else when they're talking to God. It's a party line, but it's only privy to you and God when you're talking to Him. So let's do what's right, and let's understand again that the Word is able. It's able. All we have to do is get in it and do what we're supposed to do. Then we think about this. If the Word of God is able, or if it's powerful, if it's capable of purifying the soul, if the Word of God is able to build you up, we have to understand this when we start talking about being built up. What is happening to us? You ever heard that person say, "Oh, I'm trying. Just give me just a little bit more time and I won't be doing those things." How much time have you had? How much time do you need? See, we serve a loving God. We serve a God that's long-suffering. But I want you to know this, that He's not going to wait on you forever. It is not on your time, because your time is going to end one day. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. When is that death coming your way? Can't tell you. Oh, the doctors can speculate, but we really don't know. But that day is coming. We have to know what the Word of God can do for us. In the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The Word of God can convert us. What we have to do is we have to accept the Word of God as being truth. And we have to apply it to our lives. Go back to actually 13. Well, we start with verse 10 and come down. Matthew 13 and coming down with verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.'" The Word of God can convert you. You have to pay attention to it. You have to know what you need to turn away from and who you're turning to. You ever turn down a wrong road? Not necessarily one way, but just a wrong road. And you get down a certain way and you say, "This is not where I want to be." And you get ready to turn around and you run in the ditch. The things around you are unfamiliar. You really don't know them, and you're really not paying attention to them. So there you are in the ditch, and somebody needs to get you out. Help is coming. Just wait. Our God is already there. He's already given us the direction. He wants us to turn from going down the wrong way, and He wants us to turn to Him and allow the Word of God to convert you. It's a great conversion, and we need to accept it, and we need to do what we're supposed to do. The Word of God is perfect. If you don't believe that it's perfect, then you don't believe that there is a God. The Word of God is perfect. And when I say that the Word of God is perfect, I want you to know this, that there is nothing but nothing wrong with it. You need to listen to it, and you need to be obedient to it. In the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, this past week, it was Thanksgiving. There were some people that were eating some food, and they said, this is missing something. What is it missing? It's missing that certain ingredient. That ingredient that'll make that dish perfect. You don't have to add anything to this. You don't have to take anything away from it. The takeaway is you take it away that it is truth and that you be obedient unto it. That's the takeaway. Don't take anything else away from it. But in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampart wickedness and receive with the meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. There you go again. It's able to save your souls. But what you have to do is you have to do what the word says in order to be saved. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into the natural at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. What did I just see in that mirror? What did I not fix as I was looking in that mirror? See, we need to think about that as we look into this mirror. But the one who looks into the law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doings. The word of God is perfect. Yes, we have those other books that we think that we need in order to study God's word. I'm here to tell you, my friends, we don't need those other books. Yes, we use those other books, but I'm here to tell you, we don't need those other books. God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. He has given it to us. What book is that? It's this book right here, The Perfect Law of Liberty, telling us right from wrong, telling us what we need to do in order to be a child of God and to be able to remain a child of God. This book does that. Man has written many a books. And what man has done as he has written those books, just as we do when we study a certain topic, we have inserted our own thoughts in there. And sometimes those thoughts are just messed up. So what we have to do is we have to go right back to the book. And we have to see what the book says. And there we find, I was wrong. Or we find he was wrong or she was wrong. Acts 17:11. That's what the scriptures teach us. You know, it teaches us that they went and they studied the scriptures daily to make sure that the things that they were being told were true. And if they're true, put them into practice in your lives. You know, I appreciate the brothers. I believe the last one that I heard do it was Brother Brian and Brother Mark does it quite often when they pray. They say, you know, basically to my preaching, don't take Brother Spencer's word for it. They don't say it exactly like that. But go back and study it for yourselves. And I'm here today to tell you, go back and study it for yourselves to find out what the word of God is. And if you're missing any aspect of what's going to save you, you need to get with it. You need to get with it. How are you going to be able to get with it? Knowing once again that his word is truth. His word is truth. His word is not only perfect, but his word is able to make you and I complete. Make us complete. I'm missing something in my life. You ever heard that person say that? I'm missing something in my life. Not just a person out there in the world, but a person that's a child of God. I'm missing something. I'm just not getting what I need to get. Let me tell you why you're not getting it. Because you're not in it. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is very simple. If your life is not complete, it is your fault. Your fault. No one else's fault but yours. Well, he didn't take time to study with me. Did you take time to study for yourself? He didn't call me. Did you call him? See, we need to know again that we need to go right back to the Word of God. And we need to see what the Word of God says. But the Word is able to make you complete. All Scripture there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You ever seen that self-taught person? I taught myself how to ride a bike. I taught myself how to tie my shoe. I taught myself how to play baseball, how to play basketball, all these other things. I taught myself. Well, why don't you self-teach yourself the Word? You're a Christian now. Spend time in this Word. Learn. If the next man don't spend time with you, you spend time with God. Learn. Pray to Him. Get an understanding from His Word. Know what you need to do. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about right here. Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. For every good work. Maybe you are learning yourselves. Maybe you are spending time with God. And I want you to know, there may be that time where you get up, you present a lesson, you say something wrong because you're self-taught. Somebody needs to come to you and correct you. Somebody that may not have been self-taught. Maybe someone that spent time with someone else learning from one another. But there they are to help you out so that you may truly be complete. Be complete. The Word of God is great, isn't it? The Word of God, again, it is powerful. It is able to purify or capable to purify your soul. It is able to build you up. It is able to convert you. It is perfect. And is able to make you complete. Let's accept the Word of God for what it is. And let's do the things that God wants us to do. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you want to become one, let the Word of God make you a Christian. Come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in a watery grave of baptism, putting Christ on through baptism. Putting them on through baptism. Then rising to walk a newness of life. Being that person that God wants you to be. Maybe you're straight away and maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to make a confession. Maybe it's just between you and God. You don't have to come forward. Just get it right with Him. Ask Him to forgive you. And the Bible says He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Let Him forgive you of your sins. Be the person that He wants you to be. Be the example to others so that they may be able to glorify God. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.